If you are able, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? Coming to us today from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, and one verse, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down their life for his friends. Thank you. Be seated. You know, the fifteenth, sixteenth chapter of St. John are often referred to as Jesus' farewell discourses. We don't use the term discourse much anymore, not farewell even very often. But what that means is that as he gathered his disciples around him for the important personal conversation that he wanted to have with important teachings that he wanted to give them because he knew his time was short on this earth. And he wanted to teach them very, very important truth that would serve as the center of their relationship with him, with each other, and with the world. He prefaced this verse by telling them, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're going to look at that next week. But today I hope that God, through the Holy Scriptures and by the power of the Holy Spirit, will touch each of us and refresh each of us in our experience with and our knowledge of the great love with which God has loved us. Firstly, this great love of God affects our salvation. Because it was the great love of God that was the Father's motivation of sending Christ into the world. As I often quote that great Andrew Crouch's song, I don't know why Jesus loves me, but I'm so glad he did. Now, Gail, you need to get the choir working on that. So someday when my old decrepit, broken-down carcass is at the front of the church, I want that service ended with that testimony as my testimony. I don't know why Jesus loves me, but I'm so glad he did. And that ought to be the spirit in all of our hearts. We ought to be glad that God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might be saved. There's another old song that goes, nobody loves me like Jesus. Any of y'all ever sing that old song? No one has ever loved you or I like Jesus. Jesus came into the world because he loved us. I love what Billy Graham said, the great Dr. Graham said, that if you had been the only person in the world, he would have still sent his Son to save you, to endure the cross, to pay your sin debt, and to be resurrected to assure you that you have eternal life. My friends, we can spend the rest of our life trying to conceptualize and penetrate towards a complete understanding of the great love with which God has loved you. You will never have time enough to do it. The great Karl Barth, one of the few theologians that I have appreciation for in modern times. The ancients, I love them, every one. But Karl Barth was asked at a great conference in Chicago in front of all these university professors, some of which I knew. Big gathering at the University of Chicago, and they asked him the question, in all of your life, now Barth's an old man by now, he says, in all of your life, Dr. Barth, he was a German, what is the greatest truth you've learned? If I ask you today, what is the greatest truth you have learned? Now, let's just stop and think for a minute. What would be your answer? Now, Barth wrote a commentary on the book of Romans. Someday, if I fall into enough money, I'd love to have the whole set. But multi-volumes. Lectured all over the world. Was asked this question. And my friend Donald Blesch, who was there, said that, you know, there was real interest in hearing his answer. I'm sure they thought it might be some extensive teaching around some Greek words or something like that. I don't know what they were expecting. But here was Barth's answer. The greatest truth I have ever known was that which I learned at my mother's feet when she taught me to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And my dear friends, today I would tell you that is the greatest truth that any of us know. Because upon his love is given all we need, all we hope for, plus eternal life. And why was that the case? Because he loved you. The power of God's love is that which brings true life. God desires to be in a loving relationship with all who would accept the gospel. I don't know where you are spiritually. I remember telling one of my deacons in Awadia, I preached about on evangelism for about, three months, preaching evangelistic messages. And he said, Gerald, why do you continue to preach this? We are all saved. And I said, brother, how do you know that? I don't know that all of you all are saved. In fact, ultimately, the only one that knows whether you're saved or not who walks this earth is yourself. But I do want to say, and I see lots of evidence that you walk with him. I'm not saying that. But the thing that God desires for you the most is that you would receive his love given to you in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have that, you have nothing. And we're very clear, because we teach the whole Word of God here at Lakeview. You've got deacons that believe the whole Word of God. And the whole Word of God teaches us clearly that to acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord with your lips is not enough. That is not a saving faith. A saving faith is when you acknowledge with your lips and believe in your heart. That's what Paul said. Believe in your heart that Christ raised him from the dead, that he is God and Messiah. That's what God desires for you. God's love is indeed offered unconditionally. Do you know that? Any person who hears the gospel can hear the unconditional offer of God's love. Now, I keep telling you all to remind you. I heard it again on some preacher on the radio this week. He said, we're all God's children. No, we're not. No, we're not. The only people that are God's children are those that have come to faith in Jesus Christ. I tell you all that a lot so you're not confused by the world. But But in the unconditional offering of this love, the effectual condition is to receive it in your heart, to believe it, to believe it. So I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking about my own life. You ever think about your life? And I was going back over my life. Even since I've been saved, there's a lot of things in my life I wish hadn't been in there. I let them in. I suspect that's true of us all, isn't it? But I remember that day in April of 1965 as though it were yesterday, when I realized the depth in my life of being a sinner. That's a good thing when God shows you that. Terry, with the blocks falling today, wasn't it fascinating? It's a good thing when God drops all the blocks of human pride, isn't it? I remember also hearing that even though I was a great sinner, Christ loved me and died for me, that I might believe in Him and be forgiven and have life. I've been married to two great godly ladies in my life. And that's a wonderful and great thing to happen. Now, I don't know how they feel about being married to me. I'll let that pass. But as great as that is, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was becoming a child of God through the loving grace that Jesus Christ has for me. And that's not to lessen any of the other great things that God has allowed into my life, but that is the greatest. Jesus says to us today, greater love hath no man than this, but that he would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, he said. This was foreshadowing something. I'm sure they didn't understand it at the moment, but it was foreshadowing his death on the cross. One of my great Christian friends, and now with the Lord, he used to always ask his grandchildren. His grandchildren's parents, they were not godly people. And his passion was for those boys. And he'd always, when they'd leave, say, how much does Jesus love you? He'd say, this much. I hope that stuck in their hearts. He loved us enough to go to the cross for us. You know, the Apostle Paul, he writes these words in Romans 5. Let's think about this for a minute. We're not going to beat the Baptist to the steakhouse. It's too far to drive. You just have to stand in line for our kids, right? For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Before you were saved, before you had the strength to turn to Him, He put the condition in place for your salvation. While you were dead in your sins and trespasses, He writes. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. Well, I remember when I got saved, I chose. You didn't choose anything on your own. You couldn't have chosen unless God gave you the opportunity to choose, could you? And for the case of every one of us, He gave us that opportunity while we were still sinners, dead in our sin. That's the truth, folks. But His grace overcame that, didn't it? He didn't have to say, well, you be a good person, I'll give my life for you. No, 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 no. He said, while you were yet dead in your sins and trespasses, Christ died for you. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Much more, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. You know, if any man that ever walked the earth had a profound insight into the greatness of the love of God for us, it was the Apostle Paul. Now, every one of the other apostles had sinned, just as we all sin. But Paul once described himself, I'm the least worthy to be called an apostle. Because do you know the one thing that the Apostle Paul did that the other apostles never did? Do you know what it was? He hunted down Christians and drug them back to Jerusalem to be tried and many of them to be killed. He did not receive Christ indifferently. He did not receive Him in love when he first heard about Him, but he received Him in hate and violence. Paul knew there was nothing at all to have recommended him for that marvelous experience on the road to Damascus when the risen Savior showed Himself to him, struck him down, made him blind, and then told him what to do. Paul personally knew what he was talking about when he said that while we are dead in our sins, because that described him. You notice one thing about never coming out of a real Christian's mouth is praise about themselves. It's always praise about Christ. Paul never attributes anything to himself. I mean, he could have. Greatest missionary the church has ever known. He could have. Probably the best biblical scholar among the apostles. He could have, but he never did. Why? Because he knew that he had not been saved by what he had done, but by the gracious grace, love of Jesus Christ. I want us all to understand this today. I want us to understand it. I want it to be the knowledge to be written in our brain and upon our heart. God's love for you is so deep and so wide, so low, so high, so infinite, that if you spend the rest of your life reflecting on it, you'll never come to the bottom of it. That's how much He loves you. It is your greatest gift, your greatest treasure. It's the most important thing you've ever received. It is the one thing that will stand in you and for you and with you when, as it will someday, this world shall dissolve to dust. It is a love that will never let you go. You know, that's one thing when you get saved. Don't think you can walk your own path without being corrected. God's love is not going to let you do that. He may put your nose to the grindstone till it bleeds, but His love is faithful to you and will be faithful to you until that moment that you are either called from earth in a cloud with those living to meet Him in the sky, or you will be resurrected from the dead to meet Him. That love, the love Jesus has for you, is never, 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 never going to let you go. Oh, dear friends, it's your greatest treasure, your greatest gift. And those that know that love, cannot help but love Him back because He has so loved them. I told our Bible study this week about my life and not in every detail, but the fact that I was not a good person all through school, all through high school. And I know I made my parents weep many times. But I was having dinner at my old home church's homecoming, and this fellow said to me, those of the Bible study, please bear me, said to me, as he brought up the name, and this boy lived a very good, admirable life morally, and he brought up to me, he says, well, Lloyd Privett, who'd been one of my friends, not in the good times, said, well, says, seems like all you bad boys become preachers. Billy, they might say the same thing about deacons. I don't know. You'll have to talk to these other deacons. But it says, it seems like all of you bad boys become preachers. And there was a clearly sarcastic tone to his voice. And I said, well, Billy, there's probably a reason for that. He that hath been forgiven much loveth much. And you know, I suspect with the full impact coming upon us of how we've grieved the heart of God so many times, and to know He loves us and has forgiven us, it seems to me that that would be the motive for every true believer's life, to love Him with all of our heart, to serve Him with all of our heart, to be obedient with all of our heart. Because while we were yet dead in our sins and trespasses, He chose to die for us. Precious ones, you all are precious to me. Every one of you. I want you to know that your Savior loves you. He loves you. To say He loves you with all His heart is not even strong enough. He loves you. And He came that you might have life and have it abundant. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? I tell you where I'd be. I'd be lost. My future would be hell and damnation. I would have no real joy in life. See, the world's joy passes away, but the love of Christ never passes. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Oh, but I'm so glad He did. Amen. God bless you.